is a great speaker coming on now. It's John Lyons from People Before Profit. Good morning, John. How are you?
Not too bad, no. Good morning to yourself and your listeners.
Okay, just to let people know that you're hosting a fundraiser table quiz this Friday in the Concord, is it?
That's right, correct, yes. It's the first of a series of fundraising events that we've organised for my general election campaign in Dublin Bay North. So, yep, there's a table quiz from 8 o'clock this Friday, the 3rd of July, in the Concord Pub Lounge in Edenmore there. Yep.
Okay, and everyone's welcome.
Pick a third fiver. Okay. Tables of four.
Now, you're coming... I don't know if you're finishing or not, but you're coming or halfway through is a press conference on non-payment, on the non-payment campaign. So what was being discussed, especially about these new amendments that has been brought out?
Well, that's correct. There was a press conference took place there just over half an hour ago. The non-payment network, which both Richard Boy Barrett and Paul Murphy spoke at. And basically, it's in response to the legislation which is going to be discussed both tomorrow evening and Thursday in relation to the water charges. We knew this was coming now, but the government, in a very, I think, brazen and undemocratic fashion last week, tabled 33 amendments to a bill which had nothing to do with the water charges. It was the Environment Miscellaneous 2015 bill. And they lodged 33 amendments on the morning to submit it without the opposition having any opportunity to put their own amendments to this bill. 33 particular items which are all to do with tackling the arrears that will more than likely build up through massive non-payments over the next year.
It's strange the way they're carrying on. I mean, just as an aside, the water company themselves, the workers going into the labour court about their bonuses. It's a strange contradiction. But isn't it a strange sort of way they're working it? Because, I mean, it seems to be a foregone conclusion that they might not be in government next year. And do you think that if anyone else gets in, they might sit back and say, well, we didn't, the usual excuses, this is here, we didn't put it there, but we can't sort of change things now. Do you think that's maybe the reason why, what's behind it?
Well, yeah, you look at it from a slight remove and you think, okay, we're into an election year, what are they doing? And to be honest, I think what they're doing is, it really is a reflection of how desperate they are, Noel. It's a last resort. They're now trying, they know that there's already in place, because it's nearly 3 months now since the first batch of bills for the water charges were sent out. And the figures released from Irish Water from 14 days ago or more showed that of the 1.2 million bills that they had so far sent out, over 800,000 of those...
Sorry, John... Sorry for interrupting you. If you could maybe turn towards, I don't know where you're standing now, but turn towards the sun. That's clear enough. That's great.
Better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, I was just saying, no, that like it's a desperate move by the government because they know right now that there's a huge nationwide boycott already in place because of the 1.2 million bills that Irish Water has so far sent out. 800,000 of those bills are past their payment deadline. They're overdue. The 14-day period has lapsed. So that's a strong indication that a lot of people are not going to pay the water charges. So I think what the government are doing last week and this week with the new legislation is to try to scare people at this particular moment in time into paying their first and second water charge bills. I think that's what it is, really. They're trying to put it down and put it into the public's mind that somehow, one way or another, we're going to get this money off you. And so you might as well just give up on your non-payment and your opposition to the water charges and just pay your bills now. And it's just not going to happen for them. It's a desperate attempt. It's a last resort by a dying government. Really,
And I think two of them that they have in there is similar to, well, one of them anyway, is similar to the property taxes, that the bill stays with the house, so you can't sell your house while you're in debt.
Yes.
And but wasn't there sort of resistance from the landlords, though? So where they're trying to put the clause in, have the landlords complied with that?
No. See, this again, I think, is revealing of just how ad hoc and off the cuff the government are behaving in relation to the water charges. Because you're right, two of the organisations of landlords in this country came out when Alan Kelly, about a month and a half ago, kind of, you know, flew the kite that he was considering introducing legislation such as the bill that we have in front of us tomorrow and Thursday. And the landlord came out and says, look, we're not going to be becoming debt collection agents on behalf of Irish Water. We're just not going to do it. We have a sensitive relationship with our tenants and we're not going to abuse the deposits that you want us to use those that don't support a change of rules.
Mm-hmm.
So the government actually listening to the landlords, they're obviously not listening to the vast majority of people across the country who protested in one shape or another over the past year to the tune of, I think it's mass movement, I think. I know you've heard that yourself, Noel.
Yes, yeah.
Over the months, you know, but I think it's worth repeating for a country the size of 4.3 million people, that over 500,000 people have taken to the streets to oppose the introduction of water charges. So they're not listening. They're ploughing on with this legislation. And I think it's just really, as I say, it's a desperate attempt to try force people into paying the first and second bills as they have landed and are about to land in their hallways at the present time.
Okay. I, as far as I know, I think there's another protest now at 6 o'clock and then another one tomorrow morning at 10. I think about these as well. Outside the Dáil, I think that's what's going to be happening as well. Are you involved in that?
Well, I'm not. Actually, that's the first I've heard. Okay, the more the merrier, I suppose. Okay. I would hope that the main focus will be on tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. outside the gates of Leinster House.
Sorry. I'm wrong. I keep my days. It's Wednesday. Yeah, 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah, we're because we knew ourselves and People for Profit and those in the Anti-Austerity Alliance and a lot of other groups and individuals that are part of the non-payment network, and many of us are also part of the Right to Water campaign, knew that it was going to be around early July that this legislation was more than likely going to be tabled. That has come to pass, so we have put in place a protest, which is tomorrow, Wednesday, the 1st of July at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping for a strong turnout. We know not everyone across the country can get to us, but we expect a big turnout from across the city of Dublin.
Okay, can I ask you for your comments on the Lord Mayor nominations and the way that has turned out?
Yes, we have a new first citizen in Dublin, Councillor Creena Nidalic, the first Sinn Féin Lord Mayor. Or Lord Mayoress, I think she may be called. Happened last night. We and People Before Profit supported the Sinn Féin nomination, as we did the nomination for Deputy Lord Mayor, which was Councillor Kieran Perry from Cabra.
Mm-hmm.
We felt we did it with some reservations because we know it's part of a deal that Sinn Féin did with both the Labour Party, the Greens, and a handful of independent councillors on the council. And it's unfortunate that that deal is still in place. It's called the Dublin City Alliance, where there was an opportunity now last year because of the huge number of radical candidates that had actually been elected mm-hmm. in the local elections to have a really radical campaigning council. And instead, Sinn Féin did a deal, opened the doors to everyone, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour, the Greens, so as to run the council over the next 5 years. But unfortunately, the past 12 months have seen that that approach doesn't really bring any success on the ground, because mm-hmm. every day of the week it's getting tougher for people out there. There's housing issues, people are becoming homeless, the home people have, the maintenance services of the council have been vastly over the last few years, which is leaving a lot of people in some desperate living conditions. And I've to go out to Coolock later on today to visit another constituent who has another major issue with their home. So I think that deal just ensures that the same situation would continue from last year to this year to the next. And I think we need to use our radical instincts to really put it up to the management of the Dublin Council.
Okay.
Things have to change.
We did vote because she
is a strong councillor. She's a good Republican, and Sinn Féin have to be included in any progressive alternative in the months ahead, particularly going into a general election. Sinn Féin have a lot of good working class activists and councillors mm-hmm. and TDs. They put in a lot of work over the years, and their policies are very similar to our own. No,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a redistributional talk about taxing the better off the most.
I know, but I mean, wonderful work Chrissy Burke has done over the past year, for instance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. He one of the best that was in there, but it's still just a figurehead as such, isn't it? Until it's changed otherwise. I know there's called for changes in the powers that the Lord Mayor should have, similar to London. But he's really just a figurehead, and he can get the headlines all right, as it's been proven by Christy Burke. But so why all the contention in there over it?
Well, Sure. Well, I have to commend Councillor Bourke. Christie was brilliant, particularly to a lot of us who were first-time councillors. He was always there, and we said it last night in the chamber. We thanked him because he was very inclusive, and he was always there with a bit of advice if you needed to ring him, or, you know, because he's got many years of experience. But he did use, and you're right, it is a ceremonial role, but he did use it to get up and stand up to Alan Kelly and to Owen Keegan, the Dublin City manager. But no, like, you've hit the nail on the head. Like, at times in that council chamber, it can be very frustrating, very, very frustrating, because we have so little power as a council. We have a highly centralised power structure in the country. The vast majority of power lies in the executive arm of government, particularly in a four-person economic management council, the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, the Minister for Finance and the Minister for Reform and Public Expenditure. So at local government level, we have very little power, and the power that we do have is reserved functions over planning in the main. So at times, I do think it's a bit of a talking shop. I think at times we should really collapse the council and demand real powers, as you say, like other European cities, London, Copenhagen. You can pick a million and one different cities that have control over raising taxes locally, over transport, over major infrastructural decisions that take place in the city. We don't have that here. Okay. Everything is determined by the Department of the Environment, and unfortunately that's not a good situation. It's not a conducive situation to, for instance, we saw Dublin City coming out today saying that you know, the homelessness crisis is getting worse, but Anne Kelly is just deaf to all these pleas. Well, and the council has very little power to you know, release funds. It has to be from government.
Can I just ask you one last thing? I know you came on to talk about the water charges and the campaign, but just finally, I was just watching that Independence Day last night, and I'm wondering, I'm just coupling it with the water charges, that the behaviour of the government, they seem highly arrogant, and it's like Pat Rabbit on the programme talking about all the independents and all the small parties that's getting up. He's more or less saying there's no cohesion among them, they haven't really got a viable concept among them. This sort of, as I say...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I've heard it.
But at the same time, even Mick, what's his name, was on, and he even said it like that, fighting each other like dogs. It's like a rock band. All the independents and all the small parties are like a rock band. Too many egos, as was said.
Okay.
What do you think of those comments?
Unfortunately, I didn't see the problem. I heard of it last night when I got home, but I was in the council chamber up until about 8:20, and I didn't get home till 8, so I missed it. But in fairness, I do think, yes, there's a breaking down of the right wing of the mainstream parties. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil used to command over 80% of the electorate's support down the last two decades. That has now dwindled as of 2011, whereas they're just below 50%. And if you go recent opinion polls, you can now include Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Labour Party as centre-right parties that can't command, in opinion polls anyway, the support of over 50% of the electors. So there is a huge opportunity there. There's a huge vacuum where...
Yeah, but time is running out, John, for it to get some cohesion.
I do think, though, how we get that, though, is through struggle. I think, obviously, you know, timing can be against us at times. We should have, I believe, and I think we are open to fair criticism, that we don't have a more coherent left in Ireland at present. There was an opportunity at the last general election in 2011 with the United Left Alliance. That did break down, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We were the last organisation to remain in it, the People for a Problem Alliance. And that is a failure that we have to hold our hands up and say we were responsible for. But I do think that in the times ahead, the work that we've done on the ground with the other parties and organisations formerly belonging to the United Left Alliance, we do work well on the ground in campaigns. And I think it's true that, and the vast numbers of people who've gotten into political activity for the first time in their resistance to the water charges over the past year, I think it's through this struggle that we will come up and present a credible alternative in the months ahead.
In the next 6 months, maybe? 6 or 8 months, do you think that's possible?
Well, I think we have a duty to the people out there now to present a coherent alternative to the establishment, which are only going to say for the next 6 to 8 months that there's no alternative to austerity, that you have to keep taking the cuts in your living standards and your public services. And we have to say that there is an alternative to this. It's not easy. We're seeing it happening in Greece, but we have to battle for it and fight for it, fight for decency, for radical change in this country.
I mean, the same thing is happening over in Spain as well. I mean, what's happening in Ireland is happening in Spain as well, but they seem to be doing it in a more viable way and getting people on board. Because when it gets to the ballot box, people have to know who they're voting for and what they're voting for. And that's the problem that you have between now and the next election.
Yes, and I think one positive element over the last while has been the Right to Water trade union initiative, which is the five trade unions creating a two conferences that were held on the 1st of May, International Workers' Day, and more recently on the 13th of June, which is to create a platform of progressive policies to which all of those interested in changing Ireland for the better could sign up to. So that I think will help kind of cohese an alternative where we can have a strong platform of, strong platform of policies that are fully costed and credible that we can all sign up to. That are given some validity. A lot of the time, the policies of people for profit and the anti-austerity lines are mocked, even though we have gotten our figures from the Department of Finance. But I do think coming on board of some trade unions, of other groups, civil society groups, through the Water Charges campaign, has brought up our I think up another level or two. And I think it's over the next 2 months now. It's just the work we have to do to convince
Indeed.
People that it's not about us though. It's together on the ground in our communities that we bring the real change.
Because
they are a manifestation of us, but not the be all and end point of it.
Yeah, because I think across, it's not just Ireland, I think across Europe people are screaming out for change, and I think that that's all we need to do here. And the best of luck. Just to mention again that table quiz is on Friday the 3rd in the Concord. 8 o'clock it is, John, is it?
8 o'clock, yep.
And everybody is welcome. And then sorry about the date on the protest. It's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, tomorrow, 1st of July.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Thanks very much. Always a pleasure to talk to you. I'll probably see you there tomorrow night as well. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Excellent. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.